2 Timothy chapter 3. In both 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy were letters that Paul wrote to Timothy. Timothy was like the Padawan of the Jedi Paul. Timothy was being discipled and mentored by Paul. And so Paul wrote him two crucial letters in his life and in his ministry. Timothy was a young pastor, a young man walking with the Lord, doing a great work for the Lord. Understand the difference between the two letters. In 1 Timothy, the church was growing astronomically. People were coming to Christ. People were being saved. People were being discipled. And the church was growing at such a fast rate. The church was growing at such a fast rate until Paul had to write Timothy on how to organize a church and what the roles were in the church and what the qualifications were for bishops and deacons and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. He wrote 1 Timothy so that he would know how to structure and form and organize a massively fast-growing church. That was 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy, totally different story. In 2 Timothy, persecution has hit the church. People are defecting and leaving the ministry. There's all kinds of chaos going on, and persecution has set in, and the persecution is severe. So in 1 Timothy, where he was writing him on how to organize a fastly growing church, 2 Timothy is really a letter to help him stay in the fight and stay in the game. It is a very, very different, dark time when he wrote 2 Timothy. So when he wrote 2 Timothy, one of the things that he was doing was reminding Timothy of who he was and where he had come from, and to help him stay strong in the faith. And in going back, there's something that Paul said to Timothy that I want to say to us. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And this is Paul talking to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 10. And he says this to him. He says, "You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me." Verse 12, I'm going to read this verse and we're going to park here just for a moment. Verse 12, "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus shall be persecuted. There is no age limit on that. Notice what he did say and notice what he didn't say. It didn't say all who go to church. It didn't say all who go to camp. It didn't say all who come to youth group. It said all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Let me tell you this. Sometimes your greatest temptations or your greatest forms of chaos that you will run into in life will happen either right before or right after your greatest encounters and times with God. Whenever I come to something like this, when I'm going to minister, there's one thing that I know. I know something crazy most likely is going to happen right before I leave, or something crazy is going to happen when I get back. And the reason why I say that is not to spook you, to get you scared, but here's what I'm saying. You cannot read scripture and deny the reality of spiritual warfare. And anytime a person takes a step toward God and they are serious about their faith and they make some hardcore, ironclad heart decisions for the Lord, when you take a step toward God, the enemy takes a step toward you. So after a retreat like this, where you've been in a completely Christian atmosphere and you've been around prayer, you've been around devotion, you've been around the Word of God, you've been around godly people, this is the locker room. That's the field. This is the locker room, the charging station. That's where the game is played. When two football teams play, who is the most dangerous person on the field? I'm asking you a question. When two football teams play, who is the most dangerous person on the field? Hmm? The one that who? The head starters. Okay. Referee. The most dangerous person on the field is whoever has the ball in his hand. Because no matter what position you play, if you run into that end zone without that ball, it doesn't matter. But once you catch the ball, there's one thing you know. Everybody on the other team either wants to tackle you, see you fumble, see you make a bad play and get a flag, or somehow push you out of bounds or tackle and crush you. When you come to something like this, boom, you've got the ball. The other team is waiting. So what I'm saying is this. Don't be surprised if when you go back, old habits just try to jump on you, or all the decisions you made here, there are circumstances that will test those decisions. Paul told Timothy, he said, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus in some form or another will suffer persecution. And when we think about persecution, we think about people in some foreign country who are being shot for the gospel. And yes, that is persecution. And we don't know that level of persecution. But I will tell you this. Satan knows how to make tailor-made persecution. And what I mean by that is this. Satan knows where to kick you where it hurts. So when the decisions you've made this weekend, make sure they are decisions that you made with an ironclad resolve that no matter what comes, no matter what goes, no matter what happens in my life, I'm going to be committed to this new renewed walk with God. Let me tell you this. Your walk with God is not based on your feelings. Your walk with God is based on a commitment. Your walk with God is not based on circumstances and situations. Your walk with God is based on your commitment. Your walk with God is not based on your comfort level. Your walk with God is based on your commitment. Hear me when I say this. In athletics, games are not won by feelings. It's won by commitment. Games are not won by situations and circumstances. They're won by commitment. Man, when I saw the movie Act of Valor about these Navy SEALs, were about to go into this hot zone and rescue this lady. And when they were about to go in and they were realizing how intense the mission was, they were talking over a bonfire one night, and they looked at each other and they said, whatever's going on at home, if something needs to be straight, deal with it. And then once we leave, you leave it there. Because we got to be so focused on our mission that we can't allow anything outside of this to affect what we're doing. You got to have the same mentality when it comes to your walk with God. No matter what happens in my life, I'm going to be faithful to my decision to follow Christ and to honor Christ in every area of my life. So number one, expect some form of persecution. Number two, look at this. Go back to verse 12. Notice what he says. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Verse 14, here's what I want you to get. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, the scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Watch this. Verse 14. Now I'm about to ask you a question. Verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. Now hold up, hold up. What do you think is the most powerful word, the most powerful word in verse 14? I'm asking a question. You tell me, what do you think is the most powerful word in verse 14? Continue. We've talked about reconnection, reconnecting with God, reconnecting with the local church, reconnecting with each other, dealing with any animosity or obstacles within ourselves that would hinder reconnection. We've talked about reconnection and restarting this walk with God. But listen, all that you have done here this weekend, the key word when you go back to real life is to continue. Is to continue. Let me tell you this, emotions change like Texas weather. You come from a retreat and you got this big Jesus high, go home, have one disagreement with your parents, and then those emotions were gone. You come back from a retreat on that retreat high, 2 days later, some circumstance, a situation changes in your life, and you feel like you're in darkness. The key is this, continue. You all listen, I work, I go to work, I teach karate all day. After work, I have to go to the dojo where I do karate. Then I got Camp Gladiator. I've got my time with my brother in the gym. I got to deal with Kingdom and his silly sister Coco. All this stuff that I have to do. But you know what? And all that stuff that I have to do, I still make time to work out. I still make time to do the things that I really have to do because those things are that important. Always remember this. God is not supposed to revolve around the activities of your life, but instead, the activities of your life are supposed to revolve around God. God has to be the center. And the older you get, life is not going to slow down. The older you get, the more busy you're going to become. But one of the greatest people in scripture that really showed devotion to God in the midst of business, in my opinion, is Daniel. Daniel in Babylon was a head in the nation. And the Bible says that still every day, three times a day, he would go and spend time in prayer before the Lord. Those devotionals are important. That prayer time is important. That fellowship with other believers is important. And I guarantee you this. Oh, I guarantee you this. If you take care of God's business and keep God first, you will be amazed at what God will do on your behalf. My first year when I was a youth pastor at CCC, I remember it was like during the springtime, kind of close to the time of finals. And like I said, back then we had like 50 youth that would come, you know, on a pretty consistent basis. And I remember I got there that one Sunday and I walked in and you all, I had maybe four youth there. Four. Okay, I'm going to be nice and say eight, but I'm almost certain it was four, no more than six. And I was like, Did I miss something? Did some people get sick or something? And I was really dumbfounded. And one of my youth told me this. One of my youth said, "Pastor Byron, you're new here. You don't understand." She said, "At our church, during the time of finals, God is second, education is first, and most of these kids that are not here are here because they are studying for finals." I had never seen something like that. And so that morning, when that was told to me, we got to talking about all the things that young people do with band and violin practice in sports and all this kind of stuff. And we just got talking about how God gets lost in the shuffle of it. But if you read, I'm not going to read it, but if you read Daniel chapter 1, if you read Daniel chapter 1, in Daniel chapter 1, when Daniel and his friends made a vow to be loyal to God, and they would not eat certain things that were placed before them by the king, because those things had been offered to idols. Even though it put them in a dangerous zone, when they chose to honor God, the Bible says when they honored God, God made them smart and gave them wisdom and understanding academically. The Bible says that they were great in understanding literature and science and all that stuff. When they honored God, God honored them. And let me tell you something. When you keep God first, it's not always easy. But if you keep God first, I promise it will always be worth it. Always be worth it. And the worst thing about not obeying God is later on wishing that you had. When you keep God first and you do what's right before God and you continue in that, you stay faithful to that, you will see God moving your life in ways that words cannot describe. Doors will open that should not be opened before you. You will sit in places and positions and have experiences that you never thought, because when you are faithful to God, God shows his faithfulness to you. I mean, he's even faithful to us when we're not faithful to him. But when you are faithful to God and continue in the things of God, no matter the cost, you see God move greatly in your life. I spoke at a youth retreat like this one time, and this guy told me, he said, "Man, they're just kids. Why do you talk to them so strong?" Let me tell you why I talk to you so strong. You all are blessed that you come from Christians' homes. You are blessed that you're at a church where you've got a ministry that loves you enough to bring you to something like this. You are blessed that you have youth leaders that have made devotionals for you and have time for you to have devotions. You are blessed, because I'm gonna tell you something, there are a lot of kids that don't have that. And the thing about it is this. When you're not raised in a godly household, and when you're not raised knowing the ways of God, you make a lot of life decisions and life choices that bring really dark consequences because you never knew better. I don't know which kid it is. I think it's is that you, the one that I would say, "You're not my dad"? well, listen. I have heard that so, and you know, when I would hear him say it, I wouldn't even see who it was. I just always hear, "You're not my dad." And so last night I said, "What is this, you're not my dad?" And so I went online and I looked up the "you're not my dad." And I see this kid saying it, but somehow on YouTube when I saw it, it took me to this long compilation video called Thug Life. And listen, all it shows are people who do or say things that on the street give you credit but are very dishonorable before God. And what blew me is the majority of the people on there were kids. They asked this one girl, she said, "You know what? Everybody thinks I'm 9 years old, and they keep telling me I'm 9 years old. I'm not nine. I'm not nine. I'm 11, blank, blank." And then they put the little caption up there, "Thug Life," and they celebrate that. This one little boy was walking, and the camera's on him. They say, "Smile for the camera." He says, "Hi, blank, blank." And then they start playing the Thug Life music. And I just saw kid after kid after kid after kid after kid. And then it was this, it was this one boy that was sitting in on a bus, and some kid and the boy was singing the song to Barney, and somebody said, "What are you? Are you 5 years old?" You all, what he responded with was so dark and perverted. And most of these kids are under the age of 12. And the world celebrates that. And you know what? The dangerous part about the world and sin is the world will take something that is so blatantly against God, put it in entertainment, and put some comedy around it. And if we're not careful, before you know it, we start laughing at it. And as we start laughing at it, we don't take it as serious. We don't take it that serious anymore. And then when we don't take it that serious anymore, it starts to slowly desensitize us. The reason why it's so important that you keep your connection with God strong and you stay in the Word of God and you stay in godly company and you stay under good godly teaching is because you want your heart to stay sensitive toward God. Remember this. Remember this. Never forget what I'm about to say. Remember this. One of the ways that you know you are maturing in God is that as you grow spiritually, you begin to love the things that God loves and hate the things that He hates. The greatest sign of spiritual maturity is to love what God loves and to hate what He hates. And the dangerous part is when there are things that we love that are blatantly against God. Continue. Continue in this. And you know what? When I look at you all and I saw y'all playing games and laughing and playing volleyball, that oh my gosh, that is so beautiful. But what I really want y'all to do, I want y'all to band together. I want you all to band together as a youth ministry and just make yourself. I know this is gonna sound corny and I don't even want to say it because it sounds corny, but what I mean is serious. I want y'all to band together and almost be like a God squad. And what I mean by that is band together and yes, let your youth leaders help you and minister to you, but learn how to minister to yourself and minister to each other, because there's going to come a time when they are not going to be around. There's going to come a time where they're not going to be around. I want y'all to band together and really love each other and pray for each other and talk to each other and hold each other accountable and do life together. Because I'm telling you, there are scars underneath my armor based on decisions that I made when I was younger, just ignorant and didn't know. I didn't have godly community. I didn't have, gosh, you know what? I did not even know there were Christian retreats until I got to college. College! The first Christian retreat I went to, it was in Glorieta, New Mexico. The first Christian retreat I went to, when I went there, I was just like, OMG. I gave my life to the Lord in the seventh grade, was serious about my walk with God, but I didn't have what you all have in a church. I didn't have that. And so by the time I got to college, and I was exposed to ministry like this, and I was exposed to retreats, and I was exposed to discipleship. I was like, if only I would have had that as a kid. And I'm going to tell you this, there are many kids who are brought up in church, but they are not raised in Christ. There's a big difference. Both my parents, I came from a two-parent household. My mother was a teacher, my dad was a principal. They were good people. My mother took us to church. My dad wasn't a Christian for a long time. When I accepted my call to ministry in the ninth grade, I called Heat at Home at the beginning. Finally, when my mother saw that I was serious, my dad thought I had lost my mind. My dad was a good man, but not a godly man. There are two different things. There are many good people who don't believe in God. There are many good people who think the ways of God are foolishness. There are many good people who don't have any care for the things of God. That's a good person. But a godly person is a person who has accepted Jesus Christ as his or her Lord and personal Savior and does their best on a daily basis to live by the Word of God. Their aim is God. So my parents were good people, not very godly people. And so we were taken to church but we really weren't raised in the things of God at home. When I was a youth pastor, a college pastor in Waco, I met this girl named Whitney Lane Tunney. Never will forget her name. And she was a college student who sat under me in ministry. And I remember one day I saw her in service, and the Lord said, "You need to talk to her." And I'm like, "Why?" But I obeyed. So I got a female college student that I knew, had her to contact Whitney, told Whitney to call me. Whitney called me. And I said, "Whitney, listen, I want you to tell me, how were you brought up?" Because I knew she was a follower of Christ. I said, "How were you brought up? You all..." Whitney came from a strong Christian family, and she was talking about how they prayed together, they had devotions, they had a scripture they had to memorize every week, and all this stuff. And you all, we talked on the phone for about an hour and a half. You all, while we are talking on the phone, I'm doing like this, and there are just hot tears just streaming down my face. And I had to pull away from the phone and wipe my eyes and clear my voice and keep talking. And the reason why is because I was like, I needed that growing up. And I thought about all the kids that I deal with on a daily basis who don't have that. By you all having parents that put you in this, you're so far ahead of the game. But never take it for granted. Never take it for granted. It's dangerous to be around the house of God, the word of God, and the things of God, and to be around it for so long until you lose sight of the meaning of it, or it just becomes routine to you. Write this down. I need you to pray this every month, at least. No, at least pray it every month. If you want to, pray it every week. Lord, always reveal yourself to me in a fresh way. Always reveal yourself to me in a fresh way. Number two, pray this. By whatever means necessary, Lord, help me to keep my relationship with you continually fresh. Continually fresh. You know what? There was a time where I was preaching so much that literally I'd finish one retreat, get a call for another one, and I'd take that one. I was just boom, 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 just going. Just living the life. I love doing this. But you all, there came a time where I was so busy that it was just routine to me. Just routine, and I was going through the motions. God was still blessing and God was still using me. My heart was still in the right place, but it was starting to become routine. And then all of a sudden, I didn't minister for a long time. Where?
Right there.
Is it off?
It was like crawling.
Is it off?
Yeah, I think you got it.
It's like
a baby spider.
A baby spider, known 9 times out of 10, is a brown recluse. Brown recluses are devastating. Are you sure? Is it gone? I felt a disturbance in the force, but I thought it was Brian looking at me crazy. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. See, that's what accountability is. That's what the body of Christ is for. I see something crawling on your life that's not of God. Yeah. And notice, when he told me I stopped what I was doing, it was like, y'all listen, here it is. I forgot your name that fast. I'm sorry. Yes. Vicky. God, why do I want to call you Kayla? I want to give you a black name. Vicky and I are walking up by the cross, and she's telling me about the ministry stuff that she was involved in college and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, if only I had that mindset when I was her age or had been exposed to that. And y'all, let me tell you something. Anything that, last thing, write this down. Pray this. Lord, wherever you are working and whatever you are doing, make me a part of that. Wherever you are working and whatever you are doing, make me a part of that. Because watch this. No matter how good of a seed you are, you've got to bury yourself in good soil. Good seeds in bad soil come to ruin. Good seeds in good soil grow. You know, I never was really into gardening, but my dad liked to get outside. And so the older I'm getting, I'm starting to become like my dad in certain ways. And y'all, I was at Lowe's, and they were advertising these new plants or something. And I'm not going to get no plants because they'll die. So, but I went and I saw, and I was looking at the soil, and I was like, this doesn't look like regular dirt. And it wasn't dirt, it was soil. And y'all, it was moist and brown, and it had this white stuff in it. It was rich. And when nobody was looking, I just stuck my hands in it and just felt the vitality of it all. And then the lady walked up and she said, that feels good, doesn't it? I said, yes. I said, what is, she said, it's something, 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 super duper hyper potting soil or something like that. And she was pointing out all the white stuff and the stuff, and she told me everything that was in it. And she said, this soil has been engineered to the degree that when a seed goes into it, it almost doesn't have to do nothing because there's so much richness in the soil that the seed has no choice but to grow. When that woman said that, I could have just put her face in that soil. Listen, hear me when I say this. When you put yourself in godly atmospheres and you put yourself in godly communities, you don't have any other choice but to grow. And Brian, I got to throw this one in for free. I know y'all are young, but I'm going to say it anyway. Someday when you date or someday when you marry, and I have to say this, especially on my side of town, because it makes no sense that I'm dealing with 6th and 7th graders who have boyfriends and girlfriends, and they're serious about it. I'm like, here, play with some Star Wars, you know? But watch this. Watch this. Listen. If you date anybody, or if you ever marry anybody, seek to date or marry somebody who loves Jesus more than you do. Seek to marry or date somebody that loves Jesus more than you do. Seek to date someone that is going to intentionally help you grow in Christ, not woo you away from Christ. And let me say this. Do not try to be the Holy Spirit when you date. And what I mean by this, don't have this mentality, oh, he or she is not in Christ, or they really aren't serious about God. But if they date me, I can change them. Don't do it. Don't do it. When God says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, he means that. Oh, I see what you're thinking. Let me say this. And just because they are a Christian does not mean that's the one for you. Simba was a lion. Scar was a lion. Simba wanted to walk in the ways of Mufasa. Scar did not. Simba got in trouble because he listened to another lion whose heart was against the kingdom. There are some people in Christ who are carnal, who half walk with God and are content to have one foot in darkness and one foot in the light. That is not for you. Do you understand me? When it comes to walking with God, either you're going to be an athlete or an Olympian. Two different things. When it comes to walking with Christ, either you're going to be an athlete or an Olympian. Every Olympian is an athlete, but not every athlete is an Olympian. Let me explain that. And I'm athletic. I work out. I go to the gym. I eat halfway decent, not the best. And when I leave here and we I pass that Chicken Express, I'm going to get me some gizzards. But the thing about it is this. I'm an athlete, but I'm not an Olympian. An Olympian is an athlete to the highest order. An Olympian trains and lives for the Olympics. An Olympian denies themselves certain things so nothing can interfere with their training so that they can go for the gold. And nobody goes to the Olympics saying, you know what, I really want to get a bronze or I really want to get a silver. Everybody who goes to the Olympics is going for Olympic gold. In the body of Christ, I don't want to just be a churchgoer or just a common Christian. I want to be an Olympic disciple who is living someday for eternal gold. So guess what? There are things Olympians won't do that regular athletes do. Because Olympians go beyond. Don't be common when it comes to Christ. Go beyond. Don't be content with your box. Go beyond. Do you know how many black people say to me, you work in a Chinese church? And they ask me, and some of them don't mean no harm, but they just ask me just crazy, ignorant questions. And I'm like, you all, the body of Christ doesn't have a color. If Big Bird, Barney, and Donald Duck were over there talking about the word of God, I would be over there too. Do you understand me? People's minds are so boxed in. You all continue. And listen, if you all want to add me on Facebook, I have no problem with that because I'm always putting ministry stuff on there and whatnot. Brian, I want you to keep in contact with me. And I'm not just saying this because it's the speaker thing to say. No, I really mean this. Keep in contact with me. If y'all ever go out to, you know, to eat pizza or to play air hockey, I'm going to tell you this now. Do not ever play me in air hockey if you don't want to lose. Because I'm a Sith when it comes to air hockey. What? You can bring the whole squad. I will chop you down as a tree. You know, I mean, you know, if y'all ever do something, let me know. Because and the reason why I say that is because you got your youth leaders, but I want you to know there are other people that will help you. And anything that I can do to help you stay faithful to God, I will do that. I give you my word on that. Because let me tell you something. If I could push rewind on the DVR of time, I wish when I was your age, I had a me. Do you understand what I'm saying? I wish I had somebody a little bit older who aggressively and lovingly would have helped me walk with God early. Yeah. Continue. Bond together. And don't be afraid to ever ask for help. I spoke at a youth retreat, and at the end of the retreat, kids could come up and get on the mic and just say how the retreat was for them. This one girl got up, grabbed the mic, and she said, "You all, I just want to let you know, this retreat has been so amazing for me." She said, "Because it has helped me confront and begin to deal with my addiction to pornography." That's what this girl said. You all, when she said that, like 12 youth got up and came to the mic and said, "Oh my goodness, me too, me too, me too." By the time they got through, it was like 25 kids up there. And the thing that blew my mind was how long they had been suffering, how long they had been wrestling, but no one would ever say anything. Do not be afraid to ask for help. And no matter how ugly it is, no matter how dark it is, understand me. When you bring it to the light, when you bring it before other believers who love you, that's when real healing begins. But as long as Satan can keep it private, get you to keep it private and keep it secret, he will torment you to no end. Is that understood? Let's pray. Father, words almost escape me. In what to pray and what to say. Lord, there's not a day that goes by that I don't think about eternity. There's not a day that goes by that I don't think about one day having to stand before you. And Father, I speak for myself, but I know I'm speaking for some others. Lord, the goal of my life in time is to live in such a way to one day I will hear in eternity you say, "Well done." God, help us to do well. This world is filled with booby traps and snares and dirty bombs and all kinds of destructive things spiritually for us. But don't let us fall into that. I pray for this church. I pray for this group. I pray that they truly be a body, the body of Christ. I pray you give them a hunger for holiness and a hatred towards sin. And I pray that doubly in my life. I pray in Jesus' name that at every season of their life, that you, your hand would be more heavy and more heavy and more heavy upon them. Remind them daily that they're marked, that they're not like everyone else. We're called to a higher standard, God. Help us. We need your help. We can't do this without you. Because according to your word, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And the key is who strengthens us. We need your strength. Prepare us for what we don't see that is coming. And what has happened this weekend, seal it in our hearts and engrave it in our spirits. In Jesus' name, amen. One more thing real quick. Write this down. Living in the combat zone. Living in the combat zone by Rick Renner. R-E-N-N-E-R. I hope that book is still in print. Look for it on eBay, Amazon, whatever you do. Living in the combat, yes. R-E-N-N-E-R. by Rick Renner. Make it your mission before this month is over to order that book, buy the book, and begin reading it. And then message me to let me know what that book is doing for you. It is hard, intense, but it's so what you need. Living in the Combat Zone by Rick Renner. You all, it has been a pleasure serving you and ministering to you. I have had a great time, and I really pray that we see each other soon again when I defeat you in air hockey.